is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Lube text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
Final hour of the program. Good to be back. Hey, by the way, short week next week.
Yeah.
Labor Day.
Nope, we're back for 3 days and then another three-day weekend.
Yeah.
Ah, shucks.
I'm excited, though. This is where the job's the best. We're coming up on the seasons, ending and beginning. And this is going to be a fun few months of hopefully some normalcy.
Sports hibernation is about to end.
It's never normal, is it? It's just never normal. Anyways, and we will be announcing, amongst other things, as we said earlier, our roster that will be joining us throughout the NFL and basketball, in some cases, season. All right, Ben Simmons.
May have heard of him. Lionel's son.
You heard the story that Ben Simmons isn't... Is it Lionel Simmons?
Yeah.
Russell Lionel's, Simmons.
No, it's Lionel's son, I thought. It's Russell's son?
I don't know.
Oh, golly gosh darn.
Ben Simmons isn't reporting to camp. Ben Simmons wants out. Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons hates Philly cheesesteaks more at 11.
So, of course, that combined with stories everywhere, clicks happening on the internet. The Kings are the betting favorite to land Ben Simmons in a trade.
The Kings, the betting favorite to do something good?
Yeah.
Shocking development.
So... interestingly, just under an hour ago, there was a report from USA Today. Jeff Zilgit, a longtime colleague of Sam Amick.
They used to do a podcast together, I believe, didn't they?
I think they did. A to Z, Amick to Zilgit. So the Sixers reportedly had to pick between Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, per Jeff Zilgit. Quote, the Simmons-Embiid rift had been escalating, a person with knowledge of the situation told USA Today Sports. But sources are now counteracting that, saying that Joel Embiid actually loves playing with Ben Simmons, thinks he's an amazing player, and takes the blame for what happened, and Joel Embiid actually wants Ben Simmons back come training camp. So you wonder whose source is correct. Is it Jeff Zilgit or is it this other one that's saying, well, hold on, maybe there isn't a rift and maybe Embiid wants Simmons back.
I could only imagine where the Embiid wants Simmons back source is coming from.
Where do you think it's coming
from? The Philly front office.
Do you think it's Daryl Morey leaking it?
Yes.
Interesting. We're not supposed to tell sources on the air, even if we know things. Sometimes we know things behind the scenes,
sure,
and we trust people. And you know I know Sam and through Sam, Jeff, and all that. I actually know the source for those. I'm not joking. I know who the source was, and I'll tell you right now who it was. I know for an absolute fact who it was. It was Joel Embiid. I know this because he tweeted it about 50 minutes ago. Quote, sources, quote, trust me, bro. Stop using my name to push people's agendas. I love and hate drama. I love playing with Ben. Stats don't lie. He's an amazing player, and we all didn't get the job done. It's on me personally. I hope everyone is back because we know we're good enough to win.
Hmm.
From my own experience, he goes on to say, y'all have no idea how much this media makes up stuff for followers, and shame on you for believing them. I haven't forgotten, but 2 years ago, I got booed. People in Philly wanted me to be traded. I even shushed them. Only the real ones didn't, but I just put in the work in that offseason to be better because I knew I wasn't playing up to my potential. Philly fans, y'all also got to be better. He then retweeted a quote, or should I say a segment, from a Philly radio show. The Joe, is it Giglio? I don't know.
Sure. It's Joe's show in Philly.
Right. It's Joe's show in Philly. Joel Embiid then goes on to retweet a clip from February 11th, 2020.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good, Mike. What's up?
I hate this bum. Like, trade him today. And the fact that we have people calling in and defending him just shows how soft of a fan base we've become. Are you freaking kidding me? This guy just said, just shut the F up to the entire Philadelphia region. And we're like, it's okay, Joel. No, get this bum out of this city. He's worthless. He's fat. He can't take care of himself. I don't care for him anymore. I don't want him on my team. I'd rather restart the process than root for this loser. He's a loser, and I don't want him around anymore.
You know what he is? He's a baby, Mike. He acts like a child, and when he doesn't get his way, he pouts.
Yeah, take Hollywood Simmons with you and get the hell out. This is what 8 years of the process has given us: a spoiled brat and a baby who can't keep himself in shape and gets upset. And get him out of here. This is, like, the worst. I'm never rooting for this basketball team until they're off. Like, I want them to lose now. I don't want to see them win with these two. I want these losers to never win, just like I didn't want Andy Reid to win. I want him out.
You know what it is? It's unfortunate we've gotten to this point. Mike, I appreciate the call. As always, Mike.
Can I just say something real quick? Mike's an idiot.
Is he?
That guy is a moron. Yeah. I don't want to root for a team where these guys win. I didn't want Andy Reid to win. Okay, you're stupid.
Well, Andy Reid ended up okay.
Yeah. Andy Reid ended up winning, just not in Philly.
And Philly has a love affair with Joel Embiid.
God, that fan base is so just nuclear.
Imagine being a fan saying how soft the Philadelphia fan base is while ripping their star player on Philadelphia radio. By the way, would you guys want that as your sports radio in Sacramento?
I want to go back to what you read about the Embiid thing, what he was saying about media and stuff, right?
Can I give you his last quote?
Sure, and I'm going to give you a quote by him as well.
He finishes up after retweeting that, and he says, "For clarity, I love the criticism. I love when I'm told I can't do something. It makes me work harder to prove everyone wrong, but not everyone is built like that." And I wonder if that's his message.
Dude, this is what I was going to read.
Okay.
This is Joel Embiid following Game 7 loss to the Hawks. I don't know how to say it, but I thought the turning point was when we had an open shot. We was Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
We missed, and we made one free throw. Mm-hmm. I take issue sometimes when athletes like to blame everything on the media. Look, is the media perfect? Does the media create narratives? Yes. Mm-hmm. 100%. Mm-hmm. That's a thing. Mm-hmm. Not blind to that.
Yeah.
But you also say things in a very passive-aggressive manner that the media knows how to translate, Joel.
It's interesting that you bring that up. Because we get on players for giving us cookie-cutter answers.
Mm-hmm.
We also do not understand the fact. When's the last time you fought with your girl? Your beautiful girl that we all saw the other day when you tweeted it.
Like, physically, never.
No. When's the last time you got in an argument
probably
with
yesterday,
her?
Yesterday.
Okay. Scale of 1 to 10, how mad were you?
3.
Okay. When's the last time you got into an argument with her and you were a 7+?
Been a while.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Imagine one of those arguments. I got into one with my wife on Sunday. I was about an 8. Okay. I just had enough. I just had enough of her. A lot of stress on that trip. Now, I find myself imagining, and by the way, I'm a little bit older than Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. Not much, though. I imagine what would happen after I said the last thing I said to Melissa when we were arguing and walked out of the room, and then I had to go face the press.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, so, Dave, listen, obviously some words were exchanged. Really, what is going on with you and Melissa, and what are you going to do from here? You know, I probably would have said something, Jay, that I would have regretted, or that I would have said something that I wished later I could take back. You know what? Honestly, she's nuts. I don't know what the hell is wrong with her. And, you know, are we talking about divorce? Of course. No, we're not there. Okay. Of course not. We have mm-hmm. two great children. I love her to death, all that. But I'm not ruling anything out at this point.
Yeah.
And then all the headlines, oh, Dave and Melissa are getting a divorce. He didn't rule it out. You say stupid things when you're in the heat of the moment, especially when you're a young man, woman, under the lights like that. one thing that I caught. Do you have that quote in front of you again?
Yeah.
Could you read that quote again? Because I also caught something in that quote that I think is worth repeating.
Come on.
There
we go.
Come on, internet.
Here we go. Quote from Joel Embiid following Game 7 where the Sixers lose to the Hawks.
Yep.
I don't know how to say it.
Uh-huh.
But I thought the turning point was we had an open shot.
Mm-hmm.
We missed.
Yep.
And we made one free throw.
Okay, stop.
Collaborate now, and listen.
It may be a tiny thing. But did you notice he said we?
Yes.
He didn't miss a shot. It wasn't his shot. He didn't miss it. He said we. It's tiny, but it makes a difference to me. We as a team lost just like we as a team win.
But that's not what he said.
That's not what he said. He didn't say what the quote I just put out there. But he did say we. He didn't say Ben. Now, you may look at it as passive aggressive, and you know what? You're probably right.
It is passive aggressive.
You're probably right. It is. But he did say we. We win as a team, we lose as a team, and when I'm putting quotes out there, I didn't miss a shot. I didn't give up the open look. I didn't dish it off because I was scared in the fourth quarter, but it was a we problem.
But given all of the things that happened in that game, to specifically go on to that one play, right? 48 minutes of basketball, the turning point is
play.
It's a huge play. I agree with you.
Now, there were times during that series Embiid stunk it up, too.
But again, I want to go back to the whole media part of it, and the media is making things up. Again, sure. We can all read the lines, dude. Those of us that have done this long enough know what you're saying.
What motivates Joel Embiid to lie and say he wants Ben Simmons back? I mean, unless we're going as far as to saying Joel Embiid's going to have to be on that team when Ben Simmons is gone, and he sees that Simmons' trade value is cratering,
and so that's
he's putting out quotes to pop the trade. Are we giving him that much credit that he's putting these quotes out to up the trade value?
Are we saying that him in the front office to which he just signed a massive extension haven't had conversations about this because Embiid in the front office, sure. Like, dude, we cannot lose him for pennies on the dollar.
Joel, you're saying that's Joel's point?
I'm saying Joel and the front office have had that conversation.
Okay.
I think Joel Embiid has those conversations.
Okay, so
he is their franchise player.
I'm going to ask you directly. Do you think Joel Embiid put out that quote not so much because it's how he felt, but because he doesn't want Ben Simmons' trade value to tank so that his team can get more in return for him?
Can I say both? I think it's both.
Okay.
I think he doesn't like the idea of saying one thing and people reading between the lines and putting their own headlines out. But I also believe it's you're looking at the trade market for him right now. Mm-hmm. And if the best you're getting back that are going to make an impact on you next year is Buddy Hield, that is not equal value if you're Joel Embiid. Your team does not get better when that happens.
Is it also possible that there's a rift between Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, but Joel Embiid isn't part of that rift?
Sure. Oh, it could be 100% of Ben Simmons' thing as well.
Listen,
that's fair.
Let's be real clear, by the way. Jeff Zilgit's reputation is unimpeachable. This isn't guy that throws stuff on the wall guy. This isn't one of so many out
right,
there.
This
that
isn't
just,
guy that runs SixersFan.com.
No, this is Jeff Zilgit of USA Today again, and we'll talk to Sam about this, I'm sure, in the future. This is a very reputable person who doesn't just... It would be like if Sam said it to me. But it's possible that Jeff's sources are in Ben's camp. Ben's the one doing all the... Well, his people are doing all the leaking and talking right now. And Ben Simmons said... Well, let me correct that. The sources say Ben Simmons' camp said he wants out and is not going to report to camp, training camp. And they got to make a move. So there's a lot to talk about that we just talked about.
Yeah, the context between the relationship between Simmons and beating the Sixers is so layered to
me. Yes.
So layered.
But let's talk about him getting traded.
Well, that's just really what it comes down to is this. Ben Simmons has said it is confirmed. He told Doc Rivers, and I forget who is the owner. Is it Josh Harris?
Yes.
Owner of the Philadelphia 76ers, and I thought there was one. And Daryl Morey.
Yes.
They met. And Ben Simmons and his representation, let it be known, he does not want to return to Philadelphia, and he will not be reporting in training camp. That is confirmed. So there you go.
Okay.
Regardless of all the context going on in Philly, that is what we have in front of us, and that has to be dealt with. So now how does it get dealt with is obviously the million-dollar question.
So let's talk about the Kings.
Okay.
And let's talk about Ben Simmons. I would love it if it happens.
Mm-hmm.
It would be one of my favorite things of all time to be wrong about. But I do not see a trade for Ben Simmons involving the Kings happening without one of Fox or Halliburton. And let's even say best case scenario, quote unquote, air quotes, best case, Davion Mitchell involved in that deal. I do not see a situation where Heald and Bagley get the job done unless you're throwing in four or five first round picks, which ain't going to happen.
I agree with you on the surface. My only thing is, what is everyone else like? What, because you know, you read Minnesota doesn't want to include D'Angelo Russell. Well,
right.
If that's the case, you're kind of out of it. You'd have nothing.
Sure.
I mean, maybe Malik Beasley's intriguing. Maybe.
Right.
But all right.
Yeah.
If you're Golden State, if Minnesota's not willing to put Russell in the deal, like what are you going to sit there and why are you going to make a super nice package for them?
Simmons said he wants to go to one of three California teams.
Right.
So there are four teams in California. You have to imagine the Kings are involved and the Warriors are involved. And
yes.
The reason being, the Lakers can't do this.
No.
They are stretched. Yes, they could possibly involve a third team, but they can't do this and still have Westbrook and LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Oh, financially it's impossible.
You can't do it. You would have, and AD's not going anywhere. LeBron's not going anywhere. They just got Russ.
I don't even think you can trade Russ so that's off the table.
So it's got to be the Clippers, Warriors, and Kings.
Clippers don't have.
And I don't see the Clippers do. I agree with you. I'm just saying. They
don't have the assets to make it work unless you're getting off of Kawhi or PG, which, again, you're not doing for Ben Simmons.
We
could Clippers spend, out of this.
We could spend all morning talking about what other teams could do. Let's talk about the Kings. You got to think that Buddy and Bagley and Picks are involved, and then it's going to take one more. And you got to think that one more at worst would be De'Aaron Fox. And judging by the poll I put out, 77% of you say at best it would be Davion Mitchell.
At the very best, if there was a deal involving Fox, it would be a straight swap at this point. I think the rest of the league, and I don't want to say Daryl Morey's incompetence because that's doing too much, but I don't think Daryl Morey's handled this situation very well. Mm-hmm. His value to me in the open market has cratered so much that if you were to put Fox in any deal, it would be a straight swap. And I don't think the Kings are willing to do that at this point. I think they realize Fox's value, given just how much Simmons has come down in the last 6 months, like they don't have to do that.
Okay.
So take Fox's off the table. I fully believe 100% Fox is off the table.
Okay. So I've got some notes here. So, right now, the way the Kings are constructed, I'm going to try to break this down this way so there's the least amount of emotion involved. Scenario A, stand pat.
Okay.
That means that your lineup consists of De'Aaron Fox, Tyrese Halliburton, Harrison Barnes, Marvin Bagley, Rashawn Holmes, and Buddy Hield coming off the bench. That's my assumption. Flip-flop Buddy and Halliburton, but I think that's
probably... But there's a rotation there.
I think that's probably how it would go. Okay. Is that a playoff team?
That's maybe a play-in team. Okay. That's a team competing for the play-in. I feel confident saying that.
All right.
As the roster stands right now, yes, they are looking to try to get into that play-in tournament.
All right. Option one, and by the way, not in order of, you know, I'm just saying the first option we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You trade De'Aaron Fox for Ben Simmons.
No.
The trade is Fox, Buddy, and Bagley. Probably no picks.
No. At that point, you've been fleeced.
Here's your starting lineup. Davion Mitchell, Tyrese Halliburton, Harrison Barnes, Ben Simmons, and Rashawn Holmes. Your starting lineup is Davion Mitchell, Tyrese Halliburton, Harrison Barnes, Ben Simmons, and Rashawn Holmes. Is that a better team than the team currently constructed?
I would say they're kind of in the same position almost.
I think it's better.
If it's better, it's not significantly. You're still not a playoff team. You're not
I think that's a playoff team.
That's not a top.
I'm not advocating. By the way, I'm not advocating for this deal to happen.
Right, I know what you're saying.
I'm saying I think that's a better team. It's a better overall fit because you have Davion Mitchell coming. You now have Davion Mitchell.
So you've traded Fox, Hield, and Bagley. You've traded three starters from the previous season,
mm-hmm.
And then your bench is
your bench. I mean, that's where you're in trouble.
But that's my point.
But Davion Mitchell, Tyrese Halliburton, Harrison Barnes, Ben Simmons, Rashawn Holmes. But I agree with you. You can't do that deal. Fox is too good. Option two, you trade Tyrese Halliburton. Your starting lineup is De'Aaron Fox at the one, Harrison Barnes at the three, Simmons at the four, Holmes at the five, and I would assume I don't see how you can play Davion Mitchell and De'Aaron Fox at the same time for long stretches. I think you'll see them on the floor at the same time, but you're talking about 6 foot and 6'2", 6'3", 6'4"?
I think De'Aaron's 6'4".
Yeah, I just, it's a lot to ask De'Aaron, and I know positionless, blah, blah, blah. That's a lot to have a 6 foot, 6'4 backcourt.
The reason why I think the backcourt works is because of Ben Simmons' presence. I think that changes things.
You're going to have to switch defensively.
That's fine. They have the, at that point, you have the personnel to do that.
So you're starting Mitchell and Fox?
I don't know. Or is Terrence Davis the better option?
Or is Terrence Davis there? Or are you putting Mo Harkless in there?
I wouldn't put Mo Harkless in there, but I think you could start Terrence Davis there and bring Davion Mitchell off the bench.
So you think Fox, Davis, Barnes, Simmons, Holmes with Terrence Davis off the bench, Davion Mitchell. Or excuse me.
Davion Mitchell off
Davion
the bench.
Mitchell off.
Mo Harkless off the bench.
Do you think that's the best team we have of the ones I've listed so far, current team and the one without
100%.
Fox? 100%. Third option, you trade Davion Mitchell. That would be Davion, Bagley, Buddy, and probably a pick or two. Keep in mind, we don't realize it, but you're losing two first-round picks.
Sure.
Then you're going with a lineup of De'Aaron Fox, Tyrese Halliburton, Harrison Barnes, Ben Simmons, and Rashawn Holmes.
That's the best starting five you have for sure at that point. That team can do so many different things.
I would tell you that much of our fan base does not want to trade Davion Mitchell for Ben.
Yeah, I think people saw that Davion Mitchell can be a culture changer from the defensive end. And you need a guy like that that's going to make the people around him better. I'm with you. And again, it just depends on what other teams are offering. Just how low are we going to go here? Because there's an idea out there that Portland wouldn't offer CJ McCollum at this point.
Correct.
But at some point, someone's going to need to make a trade. And there's going to be two teams competing, and someone's going to have the trump card, no pun intended. I think the Kings are the Warriors are in the best position to use that. I just don't think they will.
Again, I don't want to. I get it because I get we need to talk about the other teams for negotiation purposes.
Yeah, it's hard, you know. But like I said, if you're just doing a straight up swap, to me, the deal that if Philly says no, it's only because they have a much better deal. But if you have a deal of Bagley, Buddy, and then one of Fox, or excuse me, not Fox. Mitchell or Halliburton, and then depending on which one of those guys, that's going to impact the picks you send back.
Right.
That, to me, would be really hard for them to turn down.
Halliburton, it would probably be one pick. I think
Mitchell's two picks.
Two. And the problem with Mitchell is this. He is fascinating and tantalizing at the same time for Kings fans because he could be so much more. He could be the culture and game changer that we need here. But you also have to acknowledge that this could be the highest Davion Mitchell's value ever gets.
Sure, that's fair. And if you're
you have to allow for that.
And if you're Philadelphia, you're looking at it from this standpoint: is all right. We have Marvin as our project guy that can potentially be something cool, young piece. Let's take a look at him. Buddy gives us the scoring and floor spacing we need.
You talk about from Philly's perspective.
Yes, yeah. And if you're looking at Philly and Davion Mitchell, you're like, all right, we already know this kid is going to be a rotational guy. He's going to play defense. We know he can. He can score. Like, okay, we might still be able to compete with this deal.
Might also be getting Tyrese Maxey back in that deal too, because Rich Paul represents both Simmons and Maxey.
Oh, if you get Tyrese Maxey back, at that point the Kings have stolen the entire trade.
But that might be why it would
Tyrese Maxey or Matisse Thybulle.
I'd rather have Thybulle. I love Maxey. I'd rather have Thybulle.
I'd rather have Maxey than Thybulle.
I mean, Thybulle's a guy that's already on all defense teams.
Sure, but Maxey's also a very hard-nosed guy.
I don't dislike Tyrese Maxey at all.
If Thybulle could ever get a consistent shot, it doesn't have to be great.
But you're probably throwing in another first-round pick in that deal.
And that's fine. Again, if you're getting one of those guys back with Ben Simmons, I'm down to do that. But I just...
It would be unlike any team we've ever seen.
It'd be unlike any team we've ever seen, and I just... Again, there's people that look at those three guys, Fox, Mitchell, and Halliburton, like they're untouchable.
Yep.
To me, Fox is the closest thing to that, but he's obviously not untouchable. Halliburton, we've seen, have one really good rookie season, and I love him to death. I look forward to watching him grow in a Kings uniform. But
he loves us to death.
And he loves us to death. Davion Mitchell's kind of the same way, you know, doesn't have that relationship with the fan base yet, but that'll grow over time. We can't get attached to guys just because they like the city and like playing for the team. I understand why, and I understand why it's easy to get attached like that, but you can't do it.
One last thing. I know we're late. I was talking to somebody last night who knows a lot of things about basketball. I said, here's the problem. You got Ben Simmons 3 more years, but really you have 2 because that third year they're going to have to get off that contract because he's going to want out. You're not keeping Ben Simmons.
I thought he had 4 total years, though. I don't think he has maybe an option. I think you have 3, which is still a lot.
But also the idea being that, you know, it's going to be tough to re-sign him. You're renting him. It's a long-term rental.
Unless he does what he's supposed to do and helps change the fortunes of the franchise.
I actually started thinking about this, and this is how I want to go into the break. Jay, when we come back, name for me the last time the Kings lost one of their top 2 players to free agency.
Okay.
In the history of the franchise.
Okay.
We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All right, in addition to Jay answering that question, we'll also get Once in a Blue Moon. And oh boy, there's a lot here to talk about. We'll do all that next.
One is bald, the other completely lacks talent. And they're both here to entertain you. It's the Carmichael Dave Show on Sports 1140 KHCK.
Question I asked before we went to break with Once in a Blue Moon coming up. Last time the Kings lost the top 2 player to free agency.
So I'm going to stretch.
Okay, well, I need you to actually answer the question. You can stretch after the show.
No, my back is really hurting.
Okay, I understand. Take an Advil.
Let's say maybe Brian Grant. Again, that's a stretch. Like, I told you I'm stretching here.
The point of the exercise.
And then if someone wanted to argue Bogey, that's all I got for you.
The point of the exercise, by the way, they had the option to retain him. The point of the exercise is this. Kings fans are insecure about a lot of things, and boy, do we have reason to be. But the narrative that, oh, well, if we get this player, if we get XYZ player, they're not going to want to. Everyone's now the sloppy thing to do, and I kind of hinted at this yesterday, was, hey, let's compare Ben Simmons to Chris Webber, a former disgruntled number one pick that you're bringing in who doesn't want to come here probably.
Right.
It's too simple a fit. But the Sacramento Kings have done one thing very well over the years. Weirdly enough, they have retained the players they want to retain. You can even put Rashawn Holmes in that category.
Yeah, and if they wanted to, they would have had DeMarcus Cousins on a max,
they
supermax.
100% would have had DeMarcus. Now, you can come back and say, well, yeah, they've had to overpay for the... yeah, I get it. There's a Sacramento tax. There's always been a Sacramento tax. I believe Mike Bibby extended here?
Yes.
Okay.
Chris Mike Webber. Mike Bibby, Peja, Doug, of them extended here.
Vlade, I think, at one point did. Kevin Martin, I believe, did.
Kevin Martin signed an extension here.
Fox just did.
Yep. Again, these are inexact comparisons, but I get your
point. But the narrative that the Kings can't keep players, there are a couple, and especially when you consider the fact that through all those years they've been mostly bad, and they've been 100% Sacramento, which is not L.A., New York, Miami. Yeah, they pay a price or premium for it.
Sure.
But there is something about players that come here and they realize that this market is different than other markets. They do realize the fan base is different. They do realize they are loved and appreciated here. There's something different. If you cannot be embraced in Sacramento, good luck, which is why the Marvin Bagley thing is so infuriating. It's not all his fault, and he's taking crap he doesn't need to, or he shouldn't. But at the same time, man, if you can't, it's like if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere. If you can't make it in Sacramento, you can't make it anywhere.
Yeah.
Because this is, we heard the Joel Embiid radio call in the last segment from a radio listener in Philly. Hey, good luck. Mm-hmm. So I think that becomes very, that is not something that factors in with me with the whole Ben Simmons thing.
Yeah. If you're Joel Embiid, who is, what was he, second in MVP voting this past season, and they're calling you a bum and to get out of town and we don't want to win with you.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine going there and sulking and complaining about the organization and the fans. Imagine what that, and you're going to hear that. And if you already have a fragile ego, ooh, you're in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
And Philly it's not a nice place to play. You have to have the thickest of skin in order to truly succeed there.
So if you're Ben Simmons.
Which I'm not.
You are born and bred in Philly as an NBA player.
Right.
You can go to L.A., or the Warriors as your California teams. Isn't Sacramento psychologically the best place for you to
go? Of course.
By a long shot.
When you look at the path of least resistance from a standpoint of being in the media, mm-hmm. being in the limelight, mm-hmm. being criticized heavily, this is the easiest market to play in of all of those markets, whether it's the LA or the Bay Area market. It just is.
Okay. Well, we'll be talking about it more.
Dude, I think the Bay Area is not that bad when it comes to media and how they get on players.
Sure.
Look how Kevin Durant handled it.
No, absolutely. I would say the thing about the Warriors, the only thing that gives me pause, there are far more expectations there.
Of course, yeah.
Far more expectations.
But there. Also, you're not going to be expected to score at the end of ball games.
Isn't it championship or bust? In,
of course. In,
right. We're not there. Isn't it championship or bust basically in
all three
every California
franchises.
Team but Sacramento?
100%.
Whereas in Sacramento, if we hit the playoffs, it's like, oh my God, you're a legend.
Yeah, at least for the first couple seasons.
Yeah,
then you're
sure.
going to have to build on
of
that.
Course.
But to your point, yes. Right now,
right.
on September 1st, 2021, Sacramento is the path of least resistance in that scenario.
I'm old enough to remember when if you got knocked out of the second round in Sacramento, it was considered a failure. A failure, I say.
Yeah.
Once in a blue moon right now.
Once in a blue moon. Brought to you by Blue Moon Beer. Here's Jay Mars.
Josh Allen.
Hey, Jay.
Tua Tagovailoa.
My wife's second round pick in her fantasy draft was Josh Allen.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Mac Jones and Zach Wilson, those four players, quarterbacks, mm-hmm. all enter this season under the age of 26. The last time a division opened a season with four starting quarterbacks 25 or younger was the AFC East all the way back in 1985 when four of the five teams did it. Dan Marino, you may have heard of him.
From Pitt.
UC Davis's Ken O'Brien.
From UC Davis.
Tony Easton.
Eason. Okay.
And Art Schlichter.
Art Schlichter. Was Art Schlichter from, what was he, Nebraska, Miami? God, I remember that name too. Hold on. Doesn't Art Schlichter sound like somebody that was never under 25?
Yes.
Ever.
Art Schlichter was born at 70 and in the Civil War.
Art Schlichter used to do Miller Lite commercials in the 60s before they got Bobby. Actually, right. who was the Art that did Miller Lite commercials? There was somebody.
Modell. Art Schlichter.
Art Schlichter.
Art Schlichter definitely coached in the first two Super Bowls. He was on that Green Bay staff. Art Schlichter was the offensive coordinator.
Art Schlichter. Hope you had permission.
I'm sorry. Just, it sucks. I mean, the guy was a starting quarterback in the NFL. Like, you've already accomplished so much more than I ever will in my life. There's just no way a guy was going to be, like, super successful, though, with mm-hmm. the name Art Schlichter.
The Jaguars have now come out and said no players were cut due to their vaccination status.
Of course not. Yep.
JK, LOL.
This is why I told you I had a problem with Meyer saying it in the media. It's like, God, you're so dumb. Like, I'm sorry. Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
I get it. You're one of the greatest college football coaches of all time. I am not going to even try to talk about those credentials. But since taking over the Jaguars, has just kind of bumbled along, it feels like.
Yeah.
Just walks into walls. Honest to God, do you think Urban Meyer's coaching in Jacksonville for more than one season? It just doesn't feel that way.
I think it depends on Trevor Lawrence.
But if Trevor Lawrence goes out there and the Jags are 3-14 this year.
I think that if the Jaguars show signs of contention.
Sure.
And that doesn't have to be the playoffs this year, but show signs of contention.
But it means they have to contend for the playoffs this year, right?
Then I think Urban Meyer is going to stick around for a while. I think if the Jags 2 years from now are, 1-7, Urban Meyer's going to
Urban Schlichter,
normally I would say a health issue, but he's actually had real health issues. So I'll say he's going to need to spend more time with his family after further review.
So the idea is, like, let's say they start 1-5, and like I said, they end up 5-12. He's done, right? And they're never really talking about the playoffs this year. And he continues to do things like this.
Do you think Urban Meyer might be gone this year?
No, I mean after this year. I think he'll coach a full season.
You think there's a possibility he'd be gone before the start of his second season?
Yes, I think there's a possibility. It just feels off.
Dude, have you ever heard of a successful college football coach coming in and then failing miserably in the NFL and returning to college and having any sort of success whatsoever?
Mm-mm.
No.
No.
I don't think it's ever happened.
Mm-mm. Hello, Nick Saban.
Is he here?
Yeah, he's in the hallway.
So anyways, I don't know about the whole Ben Simmons thing.
All right, let me just ask you this.
Yeah.
I want you to take off any emotion you have as a fan and any attachment you have to any player on this roster.
Which is impossible, but I will do my best.
You have to just look at them as pieces.
Especially when I say it, because then it's Dave wants this person. And then inevitably...
Which is why I'm asking you.
Inevitably, I get a call from somebody.
Right.
Usually the player.
What's the trade you're comfortable doing? What is your final offer?
There's no comfort.
Nope.
But I know what you're saying. If you want, I'm going to do to me what I'd like to do to other people here. Hi. What you're saying to me is that Dave, Monty McNair is coming to you and he's saying, you have to make this trade.
Yes.
And you have to pick Mitchell, Halliburton, or Fox? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying what is... I'm not saying that.
Oh, okay,
I'm
what are you saying?
What is your trade that you are comfortable doing that you feel like I've improved the team without getting fleeced?
Oh, easy. Buddy, straight up. See, you gotta pin me down better.
No, I'm not pinning you down. You know what I'm saying? What is the final offer? What is the highest you're willing to go for Ben Simmons?
De'Aaron Fox.
You'll swap him straight up.
Straight up.
Okay.
I would do that deal. I would hate it. No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't do that deal. I would not.
You know what? Think about it.
I would not do that deal, Jay. And you suggesting that, I don't like it. That's why Monty gets paid a lot of money. Imagine having that pressure on you.
It's a lot of pressure.
It's a ton of pressure.
You're looking at human beings like they're chess pieces.
You're basically,
it's a ton of pressure.
You're getting paid. Yes, exactly. And you have an entire, you live in this community. I don't like that kind of pressure. Just that question alone, I haven't felt that type of pressure since I did my last refinance. Going into it, I felt a ton of pressure. But then I made the decision. I made the decision to go with my friend Shelby at refinancewithshelby.com. I don't feel the pressure. I didn't feel any pressure. I was actually relief. It was like sticking a pin in, I don't know, something that has air in it. Psst. It was so simple. I mean, it truly was so simple. Got my entire loan done in under 3 weeks. Got cash out. We had Shelby on here earlier as an actual guest. Rates are low. They're sticking low. You got equity. Use it. Maybe you need a house. Get that house closed in 17 days or less. Just as good, if not better, than a cash offer. Yeah, don't get beat by the out-of-towners coming in with all their buckets of cash. Uh-uh. Get that house you want. Or refinance the way you want to. Go to refinancewithshelby.com. That's refinancewithshelby.com. Tell them Carmichael Dave sent you. NMLS number 279051. BRE number 01864354.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
Oh, we wrap up the show next. Always fun and hijinks. What's on tap? And then we got a crossover. It's all coming up next.
What you need to know, what you need to watch, what you need to follow today. It's What's on Tap, brought to you by
Art Donovan.
Art Donovan? Wow. What an amazing sponsor for What's on Tap, Art Donovan. I have absolutely nothing to say. I mean, listen, no. Nothing against Art Donovan. I just don't really have a take on Art Donovan. I mean, he was a football player. He passed away, about 10 years ago? Bronx, New York, defensive tackle. Hall of Famer. Baltimore Colts. I'll say this. Art Donovan looked like a football player. He absolutely, and I know, okay. No, I mean, he really did look like a football player. Clint Capella has agreed to a 2-year, $46 million extension with the Atlanta Hawks. He had 2 years left on his current deal. He's now in a contract through 2024 and 2025. Also, quick movie review. I was on the plane yesterday. I don't know how I hadn't seen this. I watched Creed 2. The, Rocky Creed 2. I don't know how long that's been out. What, like 4 years? 3 years? It was good. It was good. It was good to see Bridget Nielsen and Dolph Lundgren and obviously, as most Rocky movies are, not the most believable. But really, truly, I don't care about that because it's a Rocky movie. The part that bothered me is I actually Have we kind of missed a whole thing in the Rocky history by not feeling worse for Ivan Drago? And I found myself feeling really bad for Ivan Drago and his son in the movie. And I was kind of hoping, because you could see these, like, you could see these glimpses of, I feel like, conscience in Ivan Drago's son, the hurt and the heartbreak. If you haven't seen the movie, sorry, the segment's not for you. And I thought that maybe there'd be a resolution to that at the end of the movie. Like, they'd all be friends, or, you know, we'd feel bad that Ivan Drago was brought up, basically, and bred to be this killing machine in the ring, and the whole country of the, you know, USSR was behind him, and then Rocky beat him, and then he was apparently disgraced and his wife left him, and he and his son were sent off to wherever, the Ukraine, and then the whole history repeats itself thing. And then I found myself in the movie, like, I was rooting for Creed, but I also found myself kind of feeling bad for Drago's son. So I would not mind actually seeing a third movie. Like, where are Ivan Drago and his son now?
Russia.
What are they doing? Are they just in a more exile? Do they just go off into the sunset, beaten down by their country, beaten down by Rocky, and then Apollo Creed's son?
Oh, don't forget Bridget Nielsen at the end of the movie, just upping and up leaving and her child again.
And they just left that whole plot open. There was no... You see, at the end of the movie, I guess the closest they got to it was Ivan Drago kind of embraced his son. He said, it's okay, son.
Yeah.
And then you see him running at the end of the movie together, jogging. But we couldn't have had a better resolution there. I mean, I felt like they weren't really the enemies.
No, but that's kind of the irony and the great thing about the whole movie.
I felt bad for them.
Yes, at the end, you start feeling bad for them because you're like, oh, this is why your soul... Your soul is so ice cold.
And,
yeah.
And I knew you had to deal with some technical stuff.
Second time this morning.
Didn't they? Obviously, everything in the movie is purposeful. Didn't they make you think that there were some crises of conscience?
Yes.
In Ivan Drago's son,
100%.
So why are we not exploring that more? He got beat again, and you're disgraced again.
There's time to make a third movie.
I would like to see a Drago movie.
No, I don't want a spinoff. I need it addressed in the next Creed movie. We can't have a spinoff of a spinoff. There's too many spinoffs.
Why? It works for Star Wars and Marvel.
Yeah, that's different, though.
We can't have two spinoffs?
We don't need two spinoffs of Rocky.
I don't want to see Paulie. I mean, too late for that, but you know what I'm saying.
Did Paulie, like, I think the Paulie's not Burt with, Young pass?
Yeah, I think he did.
If he did, it's recent, though.
I thought he had passed.
Because, yeah, his character in the Rocky canon has passed away. But I wasn't sure if Burt Young was still with
him. Burt Young's 81 years old, living in Queens.
There you go.
Wow, why'd they kill him off then?
Probably just no real direction for his character at that point. And let's just face it, Paulie, the character, was not a man of good health and good standing. So Paulie living to be an old man just didn't really make sense.
What about a spinoff involving the robot Rocky gave Paulie?
It's funny you say that, because aren't they supposed to be releasing the director's cut of Rocky IV, and the robot has been cut from the movie?
That was a story about a year ago, and I love that robot.
Yes. Happy birthday, Polly.
And then
he changes the voice.
Yeah. It was awesome, too.
It was a great little, like, storyline.
Right.
It was dumb, but you know what? It was enjoyable.
I would like to see the Drago storyline explored more, is all I'm saying. I'm really not comfortable with it ending like that.
Okay.
I'm really not. I saw it on the plane yesterday. How long ago did that come out? Creed 2?
Been a few years
now.
Okay,
yeah. Not just, no.
Are there other Rocky storylines you think need to be addressed?
I don't want to see Rocky's, like, grandson or whatever become a boxer.
No, I mean, like, whatever happened to Clubber Lang? Like that, he just faded away. Whatever happened to Clubber Lang? The guy's former heavyweight champion of the world, was undefeated, loses to Rocky. Did he go on and have more fights?
I think there's a lot of meat there with the Drago story.
Yeah, there's more on the bone.
I think there's actually meat there that would show what happened in the immediate. You have flashbacks to immediately after Rocky IV, what happened with him, the kid, which we didn't know about,
right?
How that happened, how they were ready to get to that point. And then at some point, I'd like to see, like, Little Drago and Little Creed, you know, Adonis and whoever. Maybe they like open up a gym together. I don't know. Like, end it well. I don't want to see him fight again.
That's corny.
I don't want to see it. Maybe Adonis Creed retires at the champion. He's got enough money. He's going to go raise his kid and help with his wife's music career. And maybe Drago becomes the champion.
That sounds like a really boring movie.
I mean, listen. You just want to leave it that the Dragos are just running, jogging around.
Better
the
than
Ukraine?
The two of them opening a gym together.
Well, something fun. Good give God. Them, give them, give the Dragos redemption. The Dragos deserve
the
redemption.
Dragos.
Why?
Because there's other storylines to explore.
I think that's the most important one. You don't think the Dragos deserve redemption?
I don't care.
Wow. Well, neither does our audience. The A's and Tigers, 4:10 today.
You're just now doing what's on tap.
Right on.
Well, I was on tap.
You were doing some things. I didn't feel right. I felt like it would be rude to you.
Thank you.
A's Tigers 4:10 right here on Sports 1140 KHDK, James Caprillion versus Willie Peralta. And then the Giants tonight at 6:45. Brett Anderson, that might be your best chance. Brett Anderson, he had the 4.27 ERA going up against Kevin Gausman, 12-5, 2.49 ERA. Braves and Dodgers tonight. Max Scherzer on the mound.
What happened to Thunderlips? Another great storyline.
Nobody. He made a video.
David.
What?
Uncalled for.
What are you talking about? What? Lots of them.
The ultimate male.
Called it the same thing.
Can we cross over, please?
Let's cross over.
This is so bad.
Yeah. Who is it?
What's happening on the afternoons with Jason Ross?
Who was the boss?
Let's find out right now with the crossover. Boss? Here's today's crossover.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
I asked you before you left, what's the first thing you do when you go on vacation? Well, now you're home and back and hopefully getting settled in and enjoyed your show today. But my question for both of you is, what is one thing you wish you could take from your vacation and have it still with you here now? What's the one thing you miss from being on vacation that you still wish you had right now?
The Transformer from Vanilla Ice's performance.
Like, you mean the electrical box or an actual...
No, he had actual Transformers dancing on stage.
Why do you have Transformers and not Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
He had that too.
Oh, really?
The Optimus Prime costume was cooler, though.
Hey, what did you have him sign?
I didn't get a chance to have him sign something, but I had a Ninja Turtles 2 laser disc I was going to have him sign.
Oh, that would have been awesome. Jason, I wish I could have the cuisine. Poncho's Tacos, you will be missed. We'll see you in February. I wish I could still have the food. The rest of it, I could do without right now. Crossover time. Jason Ross, do we have a guest host today?
I don't even know if Jason's on air today. We don't have guest host till next week because A's baseball is going to be impeding
a lot
this week.
Let's cut that out there. All right, crossover time. Jason Ross, ask the question on Twitter, talked about it on the show. Daryl Morey calls you. He says, okay, you're going to have to trade one of them. And by the way, trading one of them means you're going to have to give up less depending on who it is. What is the smoothest person to trade as far as transition goes for Ben Simmons? De'Aaron Fox, Davion Mitchell, Tyrese Halliburton, rank them toughest to easiest, I guess. For Jay Mars, I'm Carmichael. Dave, Jim Rome is next, back at 6 a.m. Love you all. Go Kings. Bye-bye now.